Luke chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. At that time, so many people were crowding together that they were trampling one another underfoot. Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, "Beware of the leaven, that is, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the darkness will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but after that can do no more. I shall show you whom to fear. Be afraid of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, be afraid of that one. Are not five sparrows sold for two small coins? Yet not one of them has escaped the notice of God. Even the hairs of your head have all been counted. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." The Gospel of the Lord. In today's gospel, Jesus warns his followers to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven is hypocrisy, and it plays out when a person pretends to be virtuous when they are really not. A quick tutorial about leavening agents helps to explain why Jesus uses this analogy. Leaven is a natural, biological, or chemical method of causing breads and other baked goods to rise. It permeates dough or batter with air, and that causes it to expand and grow. This allows us to enjoy light and fluffy baked goods. The holes caused by the leaven are inside the bread, invisible from the outside. So you see a beautiful piece of bread or loaf of bread, which is inside filled with air. So Jesus' comparison of the actions of the Pharisees to leaven is appropriate because beneath their surface or actions of the Pharisees lie dangerous and destructive attitudes or beliefs. Their seemingly holy and righteous actions are supported by air. What dangerous leaven lurks in our world today? Anger, frustration, distrust, fear. They've all seemingly reached a tipping point and are spilling out into our daily lives, causing violence in ourselves, in our homes, and in our streets. Malcolm Gladwell, in his excellent book, Tipping Point, defines this phenomena as that moment when an idea, trend, or social behavior crosses a threshold, tips, and spreads like wildfire. Just as a single sick person can start an epidemic of the flu, so too can small but precisely targeted push cause a fashion trend, the popularity of a new product, or a drop in the crime rate. Close quotes. Does this describe what has happened with the rash of gun violence occurring in recent months? Is it now okay to kill oneself, to shoot up a school, to ignore police calls to stop and stand down, or to kill an unarmed person? In the name of freedom, have we covered up isolation and loneliness? Jesus warns that all will be revealed, heard in the light, proclaimed from the housetops, and that seems to be true. Body cams, cell phones, video blogs record and reveal what happens, why it happens, and who is to blame. But violence doesn't stop. Violence seems to continue to beget more violence. What is a person, a church, a city, a school to do when killings, shootings, bullying are out of control? The only effective method to stop violence is nonviolence, refusing to participate in violence. What does this look like? It looks like Jesus. Refusing to hate a Samaritan, a prostitute, or a betrayer. We practice nonviolence when we refuse to hate black lives or white lives or brown lives, when we refuse to hate liberals or conservatives, Democrats or Republicans, pro-life or pro-choice, gun lovers or gun haters. When we refuse to hate police, gays, immigrants, we are living nonviolence. When we just refuse to hate, that's nonviolence. When underneath our virtue is hate, we are hypocrites. Jesus refused to hate, and Jesus is our model. He tells us not to fear the violence in our world today. We are protected by a God who also refuses to hate. Rather, we should be afraid of being hypocrites, hating on the inside while being religious, virtuous on the outside. Hate is like leaven. It expands in our hearts and minds until it tips over or flows out into our meetings, rallies, debates, blogs, or posts. It's time to stop this leaven. It's time to refuse to hate.